Amen. Bless your heart. Glad for that time and place. Do you have a time and a place where the Lord saved you at? If you don't, I would sure be anxious. And if the Lord deals with your heart in any way, I would certainly be obedient unto that call. Somebody else, appreciate the good testimony. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart, Sonia. He's just good to us. Somebody else. If not, I would ask that you turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And again, I do desire a great interest in your prayers. Enjoyed Sunday school this morning. By the way, I meant to start today, but I failed to tell the teachers, and I just didn't want to throw that at them with no warning. So maybe starting next month, the first Sunday of next month, I'm going to start just visiting a class at a time, and every first Sunday I'm just going to do that. So I guess we'll start with the youngest and work our way up. But I enjoyed Sunday school this morning, and Brother Joe, you had no idea what I preached last night, but it was from Genesis chapter 12, where God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, all the way up through Genesis chapter 22. And so we're going to pick up off of that. And I know some of you were there last night. It doesn't matter if you weren't. That was a different message. This is a different message and a different day. And I just desire your prayers. And the first verse, I'm just going to read 4, 5, 6, somewhere along there. But it says, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and unto my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And I guess I'll stop there, just four verses. But I was talking last night. We were talking in Sunday school about the promise and about the child of promise, which was Isaac, that God had promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. And he told him to come outside and look up at the stars. I guess the times that even Abraham was the father of faith, and he still is. If you have faith today, you have the faith of Abraham, who believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's the same faith that you and I have that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It's that same faith. But even Abraham at times begin to doubt God a bit, that maybe he had made him the promise, but I don't have any doubt Abraham believed that promise, but there were times decades had went by and still he had no son, and God every once in a while would reiterate that to him, and one time he called him and he said, Abraham, just come outside and lift up your eyes unto the heavens, and if you can count the stars, then that's your descendants. And if you can number the sand of the sea, that's your descendants. And so the time came that the child of promise, Isaac, had been born. But that there was yet something missing. And Abraham at this time was really old. And he was at the point of death. And Isaac remained unmarried. Isaac's mother, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had died. And Isaac was in deep mourning over the death of his mother. And Abraham wanted Isaac to have a bride. He wanted happiness for his son. And he wanted a son to take a bride. And Isaac was there. And Abraham told the servant to go and get a bride for my son. And he said, don't take a bride from the Canaanites in this land, but go back to my home and go to my country and go to my kindred and find a bride for my son. And I thought about that, and I've been trying to preach this message here for 3 or 4 weeks, and the timing never has been right. And I started to preach it a few Sundays ago, and thanks be to God, we didn't even have preaching that day, and the Lord began to manifest Himself, and last week Brother Mike preached, but now I guess it's time. But I've thought about this for a while now, just about the bride of Isaac and how God is seeking a bride for His son today. And so Abraham said, go find a bride. And this servant went, and traveling, as we said in Sunday school, was not easy. But he went on camels, and he took with him some of the goods of the land. And he took with him gold and earrings and different things. And he said unto Abraham, what if I don't find one? And Abraham said, God who I serve and who's made the promise to me, He'll send the angel before you and He'll prosper your journey. But he said, if you can't find one that's willing, you're free from this thine oath. And I thought about that today and how you and I are like Ezekiel. It's not just the preacher that God set to be a watchman on the wall. That when we see the dangers coming, He tells us to blow the trump and warn the ungodly and warn the unruly. And if they hear thee, God said that's good. But if they don't hear you, then they'll surely die and their blood will be upon their own head. But if you don't blow the trumpet when you see the danger begin to approach, then he said the blood is going to be upon you and upon your head. And that's what Abraham was saying to the servant, that you go and search for a bride and do all you can to find the bride. And if she's not willing to come, then you're free. But if you don't even go and look, then God's going to require that at your hand. So that servant went, and he traveled about 500 miles or so, and he came to the land. He came to the land of Abraham. He came to his own country, and he began to pray and say, Lord, just prosper my journey, and I'm going to come, and I won't read the whole thing, but he said, I'm going to come upon a well, and the one that you've laid your hand on, the one that's going to be the bride, I'm going to ask whoever is at the well for a drink of water. And whichever one of these women, if they will say to me, let me get you drink, and then let your camels drink also, I'll know that's her. And it said before he had even got done speaking, he saw Rebecca coming to the well with her satchel on her shoulder, and she began to draw water. And he said, that's got to be her. She was fair. She was a virgin. She's the one God had laid his hand on. And he began to ask her for a drink of water. And she said, I'll get you some water, but then I'll get water for your camels also. And he knew right then this was the bride, that this was the one. And he began to tell her who he was. He began to put jewelry upon her hand and a ring on her face. And he asked who she was. And lo and behold, it was Abraham's family. And he went back to her. And I'm not going to rehash the whole thing. But I want you to understand this. That man, that servant, works as the Holy Ghost works today. For he began to tell her not about himself. He didn't speak one word about himself to her, but he wanted her to understand that all the riches and all the honor and all the glory belonged to his master and unto his son, and he was seeking a bride. And I thought that's the way the Holy Ghost works today. If you really want to know, as the sister said a while ago, that I can't thank him enough, if you begin to get around a bunch of people that honor and glorify themselves, that just pump up their self and their flesh, flee from them, you'll know a man of God or a woman of God when he can't stop not talking about himself, but about the master, about the master. And that's what this servant said. He said, it's all my master. God has blessed the master, and he's looking to take a bride for his son. And I thought about that. And I've tried to preach this message for several weeks, but I begin to think about how good of a husband God really is to us. And about how Rebecca is the called out bride. She was called out of the land that she dwelt in. She was called away from that. And he began to ask her and ask her family. And they said, she's of age, ask her. And he required a decision. And God will require a decision at some point in your life. He'll require a decision. Will you follow me? Will you come and repent? Will you be a bride today? And she said, I'll go. And the next day they rose up early, and the family said, let her stay here for a while, just a few more days. And he said, we've got to go now, because the master wants a bride. And Rebecca came, and she said, I will go. And there they took off, back across the desert, back to the land where Isaac was. And I thought about probably the whole journey. She began to probably, it doesn't say, but I would imagine she would begin to ask questions about the master. Tell me who I'm going to marry. Tell me about this bridegroom. And so that servant had a long journey to tell her about the master. I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost of God. While I'm on this journey below, we are a called out virgin bride of Christ. And the whole life that we live, the Holy Spirit begins to tell us about the bridegroom, about how good he is, about what he's taking us out of, about what he's bringing us to. And when she got there, she saw Isaac out in the field, and she said, that's the man, that's the groom. And she jumped off the camel. In other words, Peter said, in whom having not seen we love, and it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I've never laid eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, but I'll tell you this today, I love him today. I've never seen him, but I love him with joy unspeakable and full of glory, because the Holy Ghost began to reveal to me from the time I got saved, we are a called out virgin bride, called out of this world of sin. And I know the land of Beulah that he's taken me to. And on the journey, the Holy Ghost just keeps reiterating how good that he is, and all that he's got to give, and all the riches of his glory today. And I think I'm glad. I'm glad I'm part of the bride. I'm glad that I'm part of the bride. But I got to studying and thinking about that somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way, maybe we take our marriage for granted. Maybe in the flesh with our earthly spouse, we begin to take it for granted. And maybe as a child of God, we're just not really where we ought to be. And we begin to take that for granted. And this is what I've been wanting to get to. And I'll lay a lot of the fault on me and a lot of the preachers that probably don't reiterate enough about how important it is to follow God, how important it is to join a church, how important it is to be baptized. And we'll say, if you feel led to do it, do it. And that's true. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to understand today, it's the first commandment God gives you. And I want you to understand, why do I love Him today? Because He's been good to me. Because He's blessed me. He's called me out of sin and death. He's called me out of shame. He's given me a land. And I'm telling you this today, I'm glad I don't have to wait till I get there. But I love Him while I'm here. We are in the land of Canaan right now. Canaan's not, sometimes we think of Canaan as heaven, and you can make that application. But I want you to know this today, Canaan land is really just about how that you've journeyed from one place in life, and then God saves you, takes you across the Jordan. I'm camping in Canaan's land right now, and He's given me the good of the land. And I love Him today. And I love Him today. And so I follow Him the best that I can. Not perfect, but somewhere along the way, we've maybe slipped a bit. I preached the other night on Independence Day about how God brought this nation up, and I firmly believe that, and that we ought to really thank soldiers. But above that, we really ought to thank God. And I preached in Hosea, and it talks about a divided heart. And I told the church there at Mount Poland that we think about China and North Korea, and I said, I want you to know, God will judge them, I think, not individually, not souls, but He'll judge the people a bit different as a nation, because they don't have the light of the gospel. But Hosea said, and it was a time of plenty, and a time of good, and a time of prosperous, and then God began to judge them, and judge Israel during that time of great and plenty, because He said, now your heart's divided, and now you have an opportunity to serve me, and you still don't. And He said, now you're found guilty. And I thought about, what about America today? We don't have that excuse that they have in China. We don't have her. We've got a little, but we don't. I'm still able to preach and read a Bible and walk down the street carrying a Bible without coming and arresting me. So where much has been given and where much liberty has been given, if we still willfully choose to walk away from that, we're guilty. We're guilty. And God will take that liberty away. I firmly believe that. And I thought about, how has He not been better to us than that? Has He not been better to you today? That you just fail to serve Him. One commandment, to be baptized. That's the way it used to be. When people were saved, the apostles would say, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? They added to the church daily such as should be saved. Children, I want you to understand, God wants to give you the good of the land. And you'll never eat of it until you follow Him in that. You might say, I'm saved. Maybe you are. I hope you are. But don't you want to enjoy it a little more? What about, don't you want to be a help to somebody else? Don't you want to tell other people? Don't you want a bond of fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord? Don't you want to be a called out virgin bride of Christ? Buried with Him in baptism. That's what it is. It's a watery grave. That's what I said at the water's edge. Now, a few weeks ago or last week, that when you're baptized, that's a watery grave. And you're telling the world that I'm dead to this world. And I'm raised in the likeness of the Son of God. I mean, He's been too good to us. Has He not been better than that? That we just simply disregard that commandment. That we'd simply just not stand on what God has given us. And He wants to give unto you the good of the land. And I preached a message the other night. I'm not going to go back through all the sermons this week. But Elisha told a man one time that he said, you'll see the good of the land. You'll see all the food. You'll see all the bounty. And you're never going to taste it. And I thought, my, that's a lot like people are today. Lost without God. Seeing the moving of the Holy Ghost. and never partaking. And that's also a lot like God's people. He's given us the good of the land, and you can see it, but for some reason, you're never going to partake of it, and you won't until you follow Him. Has He not been better to us than that? Has He not been better to us than to have a divided heart, like Hosea said, chapter 10, verse 2? He said, now your heart's divided, and because of that, now you're found faulty. God's been good to me. He has saved me. He's put me on a good road. He's given me the good of the land. He's given me a home. He's given me a wife. He's given me a church. He's given me a family. He's given me a song in my heart and in my mouth. I mean, there's nothing I could ever do. As the sister said, I can't praise Him enough. They sing a song the other night at church talking about when I come in the presence of my blessed Savior, I'll bow at His nail-scarred feet and I'll thank Him for dying and paying the part. Let me just reiterate, somewhere along the way, we've gotten cold and indifferent, and the Word of God don't stir us anymore. We'll get stirred up by things on television. We'll get stirred up by things in books. But for some reason or another, the death of the only begotten Son of God don't move our hearts, and we're guilty of that. We're guilty. He's been better to me. He's been better to me. And He's been better to you. He's been better. And I thought about that song. And it says something of the fact, if they ask me how I made it, that quickly I'll say it. Quickly I'll say it. It's by the blood of the Lamb I made it through. He's a good God, and He's a good bridegroom. I'm glad to be that called out virgin. I'm glad to be called out of sin. One day I'll be like Rebecca. One day when He comes to take me home, I fully believe I won't walk to Him. I fully believe I'll take off running, and I'll fall down at His feet and thank the One who died for me. I mean, He's a Savior. He calls you out of darkness. He calls you out of the land of the dying. And He plants us in the land of the living. He's real. And I said it a while ago, there's something or another that's real enough about God that I don't care what's going on in my life. The trials may come, but you know what? When those trials come, that's when He really shows me how big of a God He is. Amen. Amen. Thankful for tribulations and trials. Without them, I don't know that I'd fully understand God. But the more I'm down in the valley, and it's not fun to me, but the more I'm down there, the more I realize how much more I love Him. And just like a good husband, He takes me under the shadow of His wings. Just like a good bridegroom, He takes me up, and He wraps His arms around me, and He lets me know it's going to be all right. He lets me know, no matter as we sang a while ago, it's well with my soul, and this short life down here, I don't take it for granted. Live each day at a time by His grace, but there's going to come a day I'm going to go meet Him. The Holy Ghost has revealed that to me. He's let me know I was lost, and He let me know I was saved. And when He asked me that night, like He asked Rebecca, I had a decision to make, and thank God, He dealt with my heart, and I was under such sorrow and condemnation and conviction of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a conviction of the world. It was a Holy Ghost conviction sent from God. And He began to deal with me, and He required a decision, and not the next day. I mean, that night He required that of me. And that's the way He works. That's the way He works. I said earlier, He does not lie. And He does not play games. And He means to save you when He deals with you. But I mean, after we're saved, we're on the journey to meet the bridegroom. And I thought about how that servant began to show the jewels, began to unladen his bags, began to show the splendor, begin to show Laban, her brother, and her father. Begin to show Rebecca, this all comes from Him. It's not of me, but it's all of Him. And I thought about how sweet that Holy Ghost works inside the heart and soul of a saved individual, that the unsearchable riches of Christ, how many he's got them out there, he'll begin to unload them day by day and begin to show unto us the goodness of his mercy and the riches of his grace. And the more he gives, the more I want, and the more I want, the more he gives. He's been better to us than to just not follow him. If you've been saved, he's been better to you than for you to sit there and not make a profession of faith. He's been better to you if you've made a profession of faith and not joined the church. He's been better to you than that. Has he not? Has he not been better to you? But if you really begin to eat the fruit of the land, if you really want to enjoy the life, and I'm going to enjoy eternity. But I mean, if you really want to enjoy life down here, and you're a child of God, you say, "Preacher, I'm happy." I'm not talking about just happy. Happy can fade away in a moment. What makes you happy? Is it your car, your house, your job, your family? Because I've got news for you. Every last bit of that, even the family can be taken away. Would you still be happy then? I mean, there's something real enough that when Job's family was taken and his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Who am I to question him? Blessed be the name of the Lord." There's something real enough there that I can be happy without things of this world. I love my wife. I would mourn over her if something happened. But I want you to understand that it's in Jesus I live and move and have my being, and I can be happy in that. Amen. Amen. There's something real there. And the Holy Ghost begins to reveal that to us. And he makes it more real. The night I got saved, it was real to me. I knew I'd been called out of sin. I knew I was like Rebecca. I knew the Holy Ghost come upon me. And he found me one night. Rebecca didn't go to that well seeking for him. But he came seeking her. And that's the way God is. He'll find you where you're at. We sing a song a while ago about the 99. Amen. But it said, "I was the one. And I was the one. And he came seeking me one night. I didn't have a care in the world until just like that. I was lost without God." Let me tell you, once you're lost, you'll never not be lost till you get saved. Amen. You'll die that way, or he'll save you. But there is a warning. That the Holy Ghost will not always strive with man. That, and I believe this. You preacher, I can be saved later. I don't know. I really don't know if you can. That's a horrible thing to say, preacher. It may be, but that's the truth. Because you cannot be saved unless God's dealing with your heart. And when he's dealing with your heart, that's when he's seeking you. You don't go find him. He'll find you. And he might just stop looking. Abraham said, if you can't find anybody, then just come on back home. There'll be a time when you'll turn that away for the last time. If you're not careful, that's the unpardonable sin. That's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And that's when, for the last time, you turn that Holy Spirit away and he never comes back to you again. What a horrible thought. So he seeks us out. He sought Rebecca out. And he dealt with her through the night. And in the morning, he said, "I've got to know. I've got to know, will you go?" And she said, "I'll go." She started her journey. And then he began to really, that's the way the Holy Ghost draws a man. The Lord Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And so he was crucified, And he draws men to him by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he showed Rebecca at the well, put an earring on her hand. He was beginning to woo her and to draw her with things of this life. And so he does with us when we're lost. He'll begin to draw you and woo you, show you the good of the land, and show you eternal life, show you how good he is. But it don't stop there. When she met the bridegroom, she ran out to meet him. And there it was. But the whole journey, he was showing her, revealing things about this man she was going out to meet. And there's going to come a day. As we said a while ago, God's going to come by. He's going to say, go and get my bride. Go and get the Lamb's bride. And he's going to present the church to himself as a chaste virgin, spotless, and in fine linen, clean and white. The church, the bride of the Lamb. He's been better to us. Maybe we've forgotten how he just reveals a little bit more day by day. Reveals how good he is. Have you forgotten today how good that God's been? Have you forgotten he saved you from death and hell? He saved you from torment. He saved you from fire. He saved you from eternal punishment apart from God and everything that's good and holy and just. He pardoned you, sanctified you, made you clean and white. And have you forgotten? Is that not enough to say, I'll follow you? And he's been better to us than that. So we say sometimes, you feel like joining, why don't you come? I'll say to you, it's far greater and deeper than that. I think it's a commandment. I think it's a commandment that the Lord, when he saved the man with the legion of devils, he said, Lord, let me follow you. And he said, no, I want you to go home and tell your family how good things God's done for thee. That's when he saves us. That's that commandment that he gives us. To tell how great things God has done for us. And then it's a commandment to repent. And then to be baptized into a local body. And that's the way it was set up. And I'm afraid we've not reiterated that enough. He's been better to us than to not follow. And whatever it is, you might say, preacher, I'm baptized. I'm a member of a church. Well, that's fine. Now what are you doing with it? There's a work for you to do. The fields are white and ready to harvest. And it won't be very long until the sickle has sharpened. And he thrusts it in. And he comes to take his bride out of here. I'm on my way to the bridegroom. There's a lot of people who aren't ready. There's a work for you. Has he not been better to us than that? And it just, I said something the other night in the book of Psalms. It talks about the captives of Israel led away into captivity, and they just hung their harps up in a tree, and they wept when they remembered Zion. And they said, we can't sing the songs of God in a strange land. I would beg to differ with them today. Too many people have just hung up their harps and said it's no use. I mean, there's still the good of the land before us. The promise of God still lies before us. All the lost people, they still are in our midst. There's no room to hang your harps up, hang your Bibles up, and just walk away and weep when we think about how it used to be. I don't want to go back to how it used to be. The glory of God, I want to bring God into 2019. I don't want to have to go back to the 1800s. I don't want to have to go back to the 1940s. And I want God to come here. Amen. We don't need to hang your harps up. I mean, if we get to singing the joys of God, singing the songs of Zion, really rejoicing in our heart and our soul, I believe God will manifest. Amen. He will. He'll manifest Himself. He'll pour out a blessing like you've not seen in 50 years. But it's going to take us saying, Lord, you've been better to me than what I've been treating you. It's going to take us in one mind and in one accord. Being prayed when we get here. Not waiting until we get to the house of God to pray. Powered and whole. Every chance and opportunity get. That the Lord be merciful unto us and the faith. Missionary Baptist. Pour your spirit out upon us. We've got so many lost in our midst. I want to see them all saved. I want to see them eating the good of the land. I want to see them being wooed by the Holy Ghost. I want to see them tears run down their face. I want to hear them make a profession. I want to meet with you at the water's edge and baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I want to show you the bridegroom. I want to speak of Him. Not of me, but of Him. But I will talk about Him. He's got riches untold. He's got everything you'd ever desire. Everything you'd ever want. Everything you'd ever need. He does exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. He's God of very gods. And He died so that you wouldn't go to hell. He died that you could be free. Has He not been better to us than that? The bridegroom cometh. That was the message of John the Baptist. That the bridegroom cometh. Well, the bridegroom still cometh. I'm glad to be a chaste virgin caught out of this world. He's arrayed me in linen, clean and white. And one day I'll go to the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. And there we'll be. And we'll feast on His living bread. We'll feast on the bread of life. And those that are died lost without God, I firmly believe the hell of hell. You'll be there in torment. And you'll lift up your eyes. And you'll see it. And you'll remember the day I had an opportunity to be part of the bride. I turned it away. How sad. How sad it would be. He's dealing with you today. If He's wooing you, and if He showed you His riches, and showed you His glory, and you spurn that and turn it away, there's no more salvation. That's the only way. It doesn't come any other way or by any other means. Except heartfelt repentance toward God, when that godly sorrow that worketh repentance begins to deal the heart of a man, and you turn that away, there's nothing else. And there's nothing to turn to. Once you turn away from that, where are you going to? Nobody. Nobody. Save the bridegroom. I'm glad to be His bride this morning. In my weak, feeble effort, that's what I've got for you. I'm glad to be part of the bride.